You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Our guest today is a resident of the UK who now lives in Spain, forced to do so because the government of the UK is of the misguided belief that cannabis is a dangerous drug and it is illegal. John Hughes joins us to talk about his life in Spain and how the use of cannabis has changed his life. John, very good of you to do this. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Take us back to your time in the UK and tell us about the reasons for your cannabis use while living there.
About when I was 25 years of age, I had a motorboat accident and broke my spine. From then, I was a bodybuilder before then, so I was very fit. So fortunately, I had a lot of fitness around me to get myself better. But my spine never, ever healed. And I was in constant pain on literally just bags of medication to a point where I'd become a drug addict on them. I could not function as a human being. I had no life. I had no life at all. But I did smoke cannabis, and I didn't. Although I knew that it was helping me a little bit, I had no real understanding of the medical side of it at all. Then about 4 years ago, I sort of got into it a little bit via one of my children who said, maybe you should try it a different way. So I did. I slowly improved, but in the UK, it's very, very expensive to buy cannabis, and you never know what you're going to buy, but it's what you do. And it helped, and I started to improve. I was able to get out of bed a bit, have a little bit more of my life function. Eventually, much better, started to grow a few of my own plants. And then the knock on the door came from the police. And they decided that what I was doing was wrong and wrecked our house, wrecked our business, and wrecked our life, really, and kind of forced us to go, well, there's nothing we can't do. We have to go. I can't do it in the UK, and if I stay there, I'm just going to die. So we moved to Spain.
Why did you pick Spain?
It's a great climate. It's only 1,500 kilometers from where we used to live, so it's accessible. I can go and see my grandchildren. They can come over and see me. And the price of cannabis in Spain is probably half what it is across Europe.
Is it legal medically in Spain?
It isn't legal yet, but in my region of Murcia, it is literally on the lines of a vote to make it medically available to people.
Now, when you moved to Spain, tell us the story about how your health changed.
Well, I was able to access low-cost cannabis and of a very high quality. And I was able to learn how to process it. I mean, actually, Corey was one of the people that I used to look at for information. So it's bizarre that I'm talking to her now.
Oh, that's weird, yeah.
And it helped me, and I was able to process it correctly, and I was able to get back. Plus, obviously, the food is much better here. The weather is much better here. And in the 3 years of this journey, I've lost over 100 pounds in weight.
Wow. John, when you talk about processing correctly, are you talking about making it into edibles or oil or
all of those? Yeah, FICO and all of those. Now, I mean, I'm there now. I can do that now. But at the time, it was just soaking it in coconut oil and turning it into sort of edibles for myself, and it worked very, very well.
Right. For listeners who don't know, FICO is full extract cannabis oil.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But we know what we're talking about, but there may be others who don't.
John, how is your back now?
It's still broken. Still broken, but I can move, I can function. I do gardening. I lift great big heavy rocks and move garden. This is something 3-4 years ago would have been impossible.
John, how did you lose all that weight? Do you figure it was a combination of being more active? Did you change your diet? Or was it just that, because I've spoken to people before who have lost large amounts of weight with cannabis, and they talk about how they just made healthier choices. And they you know, often when people are on diets, they feel like they're being ripped off. You know, they can't have this and they can't have that.
Deprived.
That's the word I'm looking for. It's too early in the morning. Was it a case of that, or was it just that you chose healthier eating? Or
I think obviously it was the healthier eating. The quality of food in Spain is better. Plus, with the heat, you don't really want to be eating very heavy food. So, yes, lots of salads, lots of olive oils. The olive oil is ridiculously cheap, so I use it as butter. I don't even put butter on the bread. I use olive oil on my bread.
Nice.
So, yeah, of course, it was the diet side of it as well, plus the loss of all of that medication, which was making me gain weight.
I meant to ask you, what kind of medications were you on?
I was on 1,200 milligrams of tramadol each day.
Tramadol, yeah.
That lovely drug that we all know about now, but I didn't then. And even that wasn't helping. Amitriptyline, antidepressants, sleeping tablets, mood stabilizer, I mean, all sorts, just chucking pills at me. I mean, I used to come out of the pharmacist and the bag, and it was just a great big bag that you would get from the convenience store, full of drugs.
Boy.
For me. I just wasn't for me.
That's an interesting story, because Corey was over here one day and she she showed me the bag of pills that she used to take, and it was very much like you. It was a bag like you get at the convenience store, and it was about, I guess, Corey, 3/4 full of pills.
Oh, easily, yeah. I had everything you can imagine.
And there's pills to stop the side effects
from those pills, and then some to stop the side effects from those.
No, it got to the point where, I mean, and that was kind of one of the, I mean, I used to look at the, I mean, I was very depressed. My Rottweiler once, I mean, I was laying in bed for about 3 days, and he just come and put his head on the bed, and he just kind of looked at me as if to say, this isn't right, man, this isn't right. And I just, that was it for me. When your dog's looking at you saying, come on, man, get the hell out of bed, you got to do something.
Whatever it takes to, you know, ring that bell and get you going, eh?
Yeah.
John, how much cannabis do you take a day?
I probably consume about 3 grams of raw cannabis a day, as in smoking, maybe through the bong. But I also probably consume, I mean, I do have a high tolerance, because I have been using it quite a lot for a relatively long time. So, I mean, I can consume probably around about 1,500 micrograms a day. And that throughout the day just makes me not completely pain-free, but 99% pain-free.
And you're doing that through a variety of methods, just like edibles and oil as well?
Yeah. Okay. A little bit of smoking, a little bit of edibles, and some oil. Over nighttime, I take a few capsules.
Do you ever apply the oil topically in a cream or anything?
Yeah, I use it daily because I live in the sun, so I use it as a preventer for sort of anything like skin cancer or stuff like that.
Great idea.
John, when you left the UK, you were, I assume, in great pain as a result of your broken back.
Yeah.
And how soon did you notice the recovery process taking place when you were in Spain?
Once I was able to sort of access high-quality, low-cost cannabis and actually use it correctly, within a few weeks. I haven't taken a pharmaceutical drug in 2.5 years. No, just over 2 years.
Great. John, what's the cost of an ounce of cannabis in Spain?
It's all on that metric or imperial system. We only know metric in Europe.
I don't do metric. Ian does, though.
I do metric.
But 100 grams would be on average, if you got it from a local guy, not trying to make lots of money, around about 450 euros. Okay. I don't know what the exchange rate is at the moment, but, I mean, in the UK, that's probably around about £400 equivalent.
for 100 grams? How close to that is an ounce?
That's about three ounces.
3 ounces?
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Just
that's
under
kind
three
of
ounces.
On par. You said 400?
That's about probably 600 Canadian dollars.
Oh, okay. So here in Victoria, it's about 180 to 200.
Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about on par.
But in London, in the UK, that's 100 grams is that's nearly sort of maybe 800 pounds.
Wow. That's a lot.
And that's if you're lucky. I mean, if you're having to buy it in small batches, I mean, you know yourself. I mean, if you buy them in small pieces, you're going to pay the street price. And that can put it right up to over 1,200 pounds.
And no guarantee of quality.
And exactly.
Wow.
And probably guaranteed not to be quality.
Yeah, because the UK is just full of scammers, isn't it?
It's crazy. Scammers are the bane of our lives.
Now, are there many expats living in Spain consuming cannabis?
I know of 600 in our group. And I know there's many more, because when I go onto the expat groups and bring up the subject, because you would normally think, well, these are all expats, all of a certain age, they would go crazy and go, oh, you can't bring these drugs onto these sorts of sites. But actually, far from it. It's a 99% positive feedback from it. And lots of people saying, yes, I've been using it for years. Yes, actually, I'm growing a few plants. We've already got into discussions about legalities on an open forum. It's fantastic.
It makes you wonder what the hell is wrong with the world when you can consume alcohol freely and it is dangerous. And you can
known to be dangerous and kills hundreds of thousands each year.
Yeah, and you can consume cigarettes. But you can't consume cannabis, because somehow that is considered a dangerous drug, even though it's never killed anyone in human history.
Yeah.
But
unless it fell on you, and of course that can be quite dangerous. You don't want a ton of cannabis falling on you.
Gotta watch out for that.
Yeah.
That's right. With the recent election in the UK and the minority government of Theresa May and the Conservatives, do you foresee any change in cannabis legislation?
To be honest with you, the two main parties, and Labour is, I'm a supporter of Labour. I still don't think that the Tories will be able to form a government. I think there's going to be too many spoons in the mix for them to do that. But that's another subject. The two main parties both agree that it won't be legalised. There is only one party, which unfortunately is a minority party that's almost laughable at the moment. So no, I don't see anything over the next sort of 5 to 10 years. I'd like to say opposite, but my common sense says that the government's just not interested. Not while GW Pharmaceuticals have got a great big hold in the pie.
GW Pharmaceuticals can produce cannabis extracts freely, but the public cannot.
So
yeah. John, when you talk to other expats who live in Spain and they have various health issues, can you tell us some of the issues that they have dealt with that they've been helped by use of cannabis?
I mean, from the basic level, I can give you, I won't say names, but a lady who is a hairdresser spoke to me about it, and I suggested a balm for her. We even came up here and she made it with me. She took it home, and within 3 days she was able to get back to her hairdressing. Her hands were able to, she was far more supple. And that's just at the basic level, right up to two people that I'm speaking to right now who are at stage 4 cancer and are battling that. It really is such a varied... these are of people of an age, and they have age-related issues. Some of the people I know are in their 90s. Some people are in their 30s. There is no... disease or cancer has no discrepancies whatsoever. It will come after you, and these people are knowing it, and they're using cannabis really, really well.
We posted a podcast the other day of a woman in Florida whose son was sent home at the age of 3 to die. He is now 6 years of age, but he's not battling his health issue. What he's battling is the effects of chemotherapy and radiation.
Yeah, it's just so bad.
Yeah, this little guy can't speak. He's 6 now and can't speak. He can't walk. He's starting to crawl. But, you know, he was a normal functioning 3-year-old who could speak.
But they know that. They know that when they give it to them. They know this is going to happen. I mean, the gentleman that I'm helping right now, he got very, very jittery about going on cannabis. And he decided that he wasn't going to go forward. And he went on with the chemo. When I met him, he was not well, but he was walking and he was functioning well. He's now in a wheelchair and he's coming up here on Wednesday. Because he's now decided that he doesn't want to go on the chemo anymore. It's killing him. And he's going to change his way. And he's going to actually do it. His wife is already growing 2 plants for him.
Well, good. I wish people would try cannabis first instead of coming to us last.
It's the last. But that's because there's so much stigma attached to it. The great thing about being in Spain is that the stigma is far less. And we can openly talk about it.
So Spaniards are much more open about the use of cannabis than they are in other countries?
Absolutely. It's part of a culture here, actually. Last estimates say, I reckon, around 10% of Spaniards smoke cannabis regularly. That's 1 in 10. That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of social clubs. There are hundreds of associations. There are local groups. There are local activists. Our local grow shop has a big sign as you come into the town on the normal public notice board. It's normal here.
So it should be. So it should be everywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
What do the police authorities, how do they feel about it?
Again, it's the law was very strange in Spain because technically cannabis is illegal. But there are certain provisos and caveats within the law that allow you to be able to grow in your home without of the sight of the general public. They can't see it or smell it is basically the rule. And you can grow what you want for your own needs. If you're growing hundreds of plants and they raid you, well, there you go. That's what drug dealers get. But people who are just growing a few for their own, they don't get in trouble. The police don't really care. I mean, again, it's only if it affects the public. I mean, I have about 12 plants. 6 are for other people. I'm growing for other people. They're going to take away. They're not in Spain at the moment, so they're coming over. But 6 are my personal plants. And between me and my partner, who also has medical conditions, and by the way, had diabetes type 2 and doesn't have diabetes type 2 anymore. He's had massive head injuries, and just using the balm, you can barely see a scar on his face. The law just would not bother you. They don't care. I mean, I remember before we was putting out a small fire, and I had a joint hanging out my mouth, and me and the local police were putting the fire out together. You just don't care.
There you go. John, can I just quickly ask you about your partner there? With the MS, did he ingest oil or just simply by smoking? Or not MS, what did you say he had? Diabetes.
No, he used to ingest. So, I mean, obviously there was a diet issue as well. And he's fantastically, he's lost about 60 pounds himself. So, I mean, obviously that is a contributing factor to it. But he also has COPD, which has been halved.
Mm. Good.
So, I mean, he has multiple issues that have been helped. I've just had one serious issue that needed helping. He benefits it more than I do.
John, are there many people taking cannabis oil as opposed to other methods of consumption?
There are, but there's a big confusion in Spain because cannabis oil, hemp oil is classified as cannabis oil here. So in all of the herbal shops, there are all these little... And the amount of people that I have messaging me saying, look, pictures of this cannabis oil, saying, is this the stuff I need?
No.
Well, the £6.99, the €6.99 tag will probably say no.
Yeah.
And it's very confusing, and especially of an older generation. So you've got to try and just get rid of this misinformation and just get them on this right information, which is why I use a lot of visual aids, a lot of YouTube videos. I mean, I have maybe 10 or 15 people come to my home once a month, and we all sort of sit down and we exchange ideas. We make medibles, we make oils, we make capsules, we watch lots of videos, and we talk.
John, what has cannabis done for your life in terms of the direction it's taken you?
Well, it firstly gave it back to me, which is one of the things that I'll never be as I can't be any more grateful to this one tiny little plant that it actually gave me my life back. The direction it took me in is a different matter, and I'm not so impressed, but it's something that I'm happy to do right now. But it was never my dream. It was never my goal. It was actually my son's dream. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to fulfill that and made some mistakes. And I'm left holding the baton. But I'm happy to hold it. And I'm fortunate I've got some great friends and great resources around me that take a lot. Because, I mean, Corey, you must know that how hard it is to talk to someone when they're dying.
Yes.
And it really does take its toll out on you. So it's nice to be able to share that, spread that with other people.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
John, you said when you were in the UK, your son was arrested for growing marijuana for your needs. Was he jailed for that?
No. They just gave him they gave him an unofficial caution. So there was not. It doesn't even go on his criminal record. What they did do, actually, was they, because I'd helped set up the equipment, there was my thumbprint, which was inside the light fitting. And that gave them just cause to come and smash my house up. They found nothing in my house because there was nothing to find. And we recorded it and put it up onto one of those sites. It got like a million views or some crazy stuff like that. I mean, it was just completely over the top. The amount of money that they must have spent just doing that is just crazy. There was 20, 30 police officers, several vans, dog unit,
for nothing,
absolutely nothing. It's crazy.
So forensics came in and found a thumbprint of yours.
Yeah. And then they asked me in interview why was my thumbprint on the light, and I gave them the most honest answer I've ever given the police in my life. I said, because I used to grow cannabis, and there's no law says I can't used to grow it.
Good for you.
And that interview ended very, very quickly, and I got an apology for their overuse of their authority,
their aggressive behavior.
Completely uncalled for. Completely.
Yeah. Do you see yourself staying in Spain, John?
Oh, for the rest of my life, yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. We've bought our house in the mountain, nice little, anywhere in the world, and it's just beautiful. I have eagles as my neighbors, so I'm not moving.
And you've got cannabis as your health plan.
Yes. Yeah, even my pets, all of my animals are on cannabis as well. My dog, unfortunately, he's just been diagnosed with cancer. So we've just started his treatment actually 2 days ago. And also for leishmania, unfortunately, it's a big problem here in Spain.
What's that?
There's a disease called leishmania. And it's very, very bad in Spain, especially in our province. Around about 70% of the dogs have it.
What is it? I've never heard of it.
It's a disease that attacks the white blood cells, which then in turn attack the liver and kidneys, eventually causing death. I mean, and if you catch it early enough, it's a very expensive, long treatment. But, I mean, that's my best friend, the one that saved my life and put his head on the bed and told me to get up. So it's all about him now as well.
So how will you treat your dog?
Well, his diet is very important. So, I mean, after lots of discussions with lots of very, very clever people, I'm not that clever. I've managed to get him on a very good raw food diet. So, and obviously he's now on his first two doses. He's had four doses of his cannabis oil.
How much?
But he's quite a big dog. So he's on, for him, I use a 7 micrograms per kilo of his weight. Which is quite a lot. I mean, if you do the maths, that's actually quite a lot for a dog. But he responds really, really well to it. He's not a lightweight. He's a stoner dog. He's been around this all his life.
John, we did an interview with a woman in Ontario who had a 7-pound cat, 7 pounds, and
wow.
It had throat cancer.
Yeah.
And the woman put the cat on cannabis oil and gave the cat the equivalent of 1/2 grain of rice you know, what, that you give to a human yeah. being to start.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the cat, and the cat lived. The cat lived an extra 3 years.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure that first day was probably a little bit scary.
Well, you know, yeah, but she had it all set up. Like, she had really, like, was prepared to treat her cat like a patient, had made a special area and cordoned it off so the cat, you know, couldn't fall, you know, et cetera. And, yeah, nursed that little kitty, and that cat got rid of the cancer and got another 3 years.
There's a saying that, I mean, every mammal has an endocannabinoid system. We know this now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So every mammal on this planet can use it, and they have before we came along and interfered. Animals have been grazing on that stuff for millennia without our interference. But it's great that we know that we can do this now. We know that we can treat our dogs. I mean, my dogs will eat raw cannabis when I'm trimming my lot. I mean, they'll happily chew on those. I mean, they spit them out eventually, mm-hmm. but they're happy to do it. I mean, two of our plants was decimated by one of our dogs because she obviously needed the medication. So we put her on the cannabis oil, and now she's leaving my plants alone.
Interesting, because animals instinctually know what they need.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I never told her off. I was upset that I lost two of my beautiful plants, but I felt that this is what she wanted. So she goes on the oil too, and even my cat's on it.
John, do you think that worldwide that the public attitude toward cannabis has reached a tipping point where governments must legalize marijuana?
You would think so, but the governments can be very, very stubborn. France, for example, have just made things worse for the French by making it even harder and even with even more fines and imprisonments. So, yes, some parts of Europe, yes, some parts of the world are waking up and seeing it, but some are resisting and some are actively pulling back and saying, no, we're not having this. It's just... it's insanity. When we know it works, how can one government go backwards and say it definitely doesn't work? It's just daft. But that's me. That's my opinion.
No, and I'm of the opinion with people who say that they're very critical of politicians, and I say it's not the politicians' fault. It's our fault for electing those politicians.
Yeah.
It's the it's the public's fault. We have to elect politicians who are in agreement that cannabis is simply a plant, an herb, a vegetable, whatever you want to call it, and it creates no harm to anyone. And if we continue to elect politicians who ban it, who want to throw people in prison for it, like Canada is going to legalize recreational marijuana on July 1st of 2018, yet you can still get 14 years in prison.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, it's
insanity. It's absolute insanity.
I mean, the biggest problem we have in the UK, I think, is actually the press, because the press give it such a bad, and they have their own agenda. So you have these people in the UK who only get their information on cannabis from mainstream media, and they are completely bamboo. I mean, the Daily Mail, I think, might have some psychiatric issues, because in its printed press, it is completely anti-cannabis. But occasionally on their online press, they do slip in, "Oh, cannabis cures cancer." And I'm thinking, you've got problems. What's going on there?
They're schizophrenic. But, they need some cannabis.
Yeah. I have suggested that on many of their posts, believe me.
Well, I know Dr. Bob Malamud is convinced that all politicians have cannabinoid deficiency.
that and some other deficiencies, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
John, I was in the mainstream media for over 20 years, and I can tell you, you're absolutely right. They are very, very ignorant of the role that cannabis plays in human health. You know, I was part of that ignorance, and I don't think I am anymore. I know I'm not part of the mainstream media anymore. They don't want me. They fired me.
I think you're showing by these podcasts that you actually are trying to address that problem.
Yeah, I do have a problem.
I think you're... Don't worry. We absolve you from your faults.
Thank you, Sir John.
You're very welcome. Yeah. he's remembered my real name. everyone in Britain is a knight. You do know this. This is common knowledge, right? Across North America.
That's correct. Yes.
I'm glad that's cleared up.
John, it was a pleasure to talk to you. It's great that you're on the road to recovery, even though your back is still broken, but you're 95% pain-free. And it's wonderful to hear. And I think what you're doing in Spain is really fantastic. And it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Anything you want to say in conclusion?
We could go on for hours, obviously, but I mean, no, I mean, the future, I think, in Spain is looking really good for us. I think we're definitely on the cusp of things changing, and I really would like people to just take a look at what Spain can offer people as well. I mean, a lot of people in Europe are scared to run off, but Spain is on your doorstep, and there's no reason why you can't come to Spain and do exactly what we've all done.
Now, people who want to reach out to you, can they do that?
Yeah, you can find, there's a web, it's like I say, I'm not a professional, this is not what I do for a living, I'm supposed to be here retiring, getting better, this is my job, but the little bit of information that I do can put out, you can find on www.casasflorus.org.
Casasflorus.org.
Yeah.
You want to spell that, John, for people, please?
CASASFLORES. Casasflorus.
Thank you.
Dot org.
Okay.
I've been in Mexico too many times.
Ah, there you go.
John, a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for giving me the time.
Thank you so much, John. Really enjoyed speaking with you.
And you. Take care now.
Take good care.
And there you have it, another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. If you'd like to tell your story, send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Wherever you are in the world, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.